Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, November 20th, and week 11 is almost in the books. Got a pretty good one this evening, but I wanted to give you the biggest takeaways from a very fun Sunday of football on the podcast today. So let's get right into it. Honestly, I'm scratching my head a little bit as to why the Browns were favored over the Steelers, but, well, they won. It wasn't a high-scoring affair. 13-10, Dorian Thompson-Robinson out there doing the best he could. I mean, he did shockingly throw the ball 43 times. 15 targets to David Njoku, by the way, so we'll have to talk about him tomorrow. Really didn't do much with those 43 passing attempts, 24 completions, 165 yards. It's going to be hard to sustain value with Amari Cooper going forward, but kind of is what it is at this point with Thompson Robinson. The backfield, so Kareem Hunt and Jerome Ford essentially even in this one. Hunt had one more touch than Ford. Ford had the goal line carry, so that's what ultimately mattered there. It's just going to be tough to get much of any value out of these guys regardless, especially with DTR under center. Maybe he surprises. Maybe he pulls a Tommy DeVito, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But as of right now, things aren't looking good for fantasy purposes with this offense. On the other side, things are not looking good with Kenny Pickett. Another game with no passing touchdowns. His lackluster play is really pulling Deontay Johnson down, just 2 for 16. There's not much you can do if you have Johnson other than evaluate him properly each week, whether or not you're going to start him. But just not a great season as a whole here. And it was a tough matchup. Let's be clear about that. Wasn't tough for Jaylen Warren, though. Ripped off a 74-yard rushing touchdown, the longest by a Steeler since Willie Parker. Remember him back in 2005. Back-to-back 100-yard rushing games for Warren. I mean, this kid's a star. 9 for 129 and a score on the ground. Caught 3 for 16. Najee Harris still did touch the ball 13 times, though, so he touched the ball more than Warren. It was about a 55-45%. Snap distribution with Harris playing more snaps. He's still the lead back. I don't care what the starter or whatever we heard last week. That was more ceremonial than anything. But however, Warren remains a better fantasy option. So we got that. All right, let's move on to Detroit and Chicago. It looked like Chicago was going to win this game. Detroit comes back big time. They were trailing by 12 points with under 5 minutes to go in the game. They got it done, though. The Detroit Lions are a very fun football team, and it really starts with their backfield. Jahmyr Gibbs had 14 touches for 95 yards, had a touchdown, fourth consecutive game with a rushing touchdown. David Montgomery had a touchdown, carried the ball 12 times for 76 yards, did chip in two catches for 22 yards. So it's a 50-50 split there, and that's fine because they both can be really productive for fantasy. Amon Ra getting in the end zone, but no 100-yard game. Oh, well, ho-hum. Now, Jared Goff wasn't particularly good in this game. Did throw three interceptions early on, especially was very mistake prone. On the other side, Justin Fields was all we needed for DJ Moore to get back on track. 7 for 96 and a score for Moore. Fields had just the one passing score, 169 passing yards, but he ran for 104 to be precise on 18 rushing attempts. We'll keep an eye on Deontay Foreman. He left this game with an ankle injury. He was ahead of Khalil Herbert before going out with that injury. Moving on to the next contest, Chargers, Green Bay. I don't know if we're going to see Brandon Staley around for much longer after this one. Green Bay winning 23-20. I mean, it was a home game for them, but the Chargers, I mean, offensively, this is a very good team. Defensively, they have talent. They have talent. I mean, granted, they lost Joey Bosa in this game. I think comes down to coaching. But let's talk on the Packers side first. So Aaron Jones left the game with a knee injury. There was some fear that it could be an ACL. That is not the case, but we don't know what it is as of right now. I'm hoping it's just like a mild knee strain. The team also, after Jones went out, Emmanuel Wilson, their third-string running back, also left with a shoulder injury. So the second half was basically all A.J. Dillon. He didn't do much with it, but he will be a priority pickup this week. as the feature back with Jones sideline. We did get another Romeo Doubs touchdown, 5 for 53 and a touchdown. He finds the end zone. It's not a super high ceiling, but if Jordan Love's going to play like this, now granted, the Chargers have a way of making quarterbacks play like this. That was the fifth 300-yard performance they've surrendered this season. But if he's going to play like this, Romeo Doubs is going to be a wide receiver three, maybe borderline top 25 guy going forward. I just can't guarantee that he's going to play like this. We did get a Christian Watson touchdown, 2 for 21 in the score for Watson. Not a great game, but if you happen to use him, then, you know, I guess you could have done worse. Oh, I also should say Jaden Reed is a star in the making. So versatile, and I love the way that they are using him. 3 for 46 in the score on the ground, and then caught 4 balls for 46 yards, so 92 scrimmage yards on 7 touches. We'll talk about him more tomorrow. On the other side, Keenan Allen continued to be really productive, 10 for 116 in the score, although it should have been 2 scores. You don't see that often from Keenan Allen, but dropped like a surefire touchdown. Austin Eckler, 10 for 64 looks good. I mean, it's not good for fantasy, but 6.4 yards per carry looks good. There were points in this game where he didn't look good, though. You know, age catches up with these guys at running back very quickly, and he is 28 years old. Not overly concerned about Justin Herbert, 260 and 2, and ran a lot in this game, 8 for 73, so pretty decent fantasy performance from him. Moving on to the Raiders and Dolphins, and Devon Achane was very short-lived. The report was that he banged the knee, the same knee that landed him on IR, short-term IR, and they wanted to be careful about it, but we really don't know if he's going to play this upcoming week. So, I mean, that could be the rub with this guy, and that's one of the reasons why I'm always cautious about these undersized running backs. Take a pounding in the NFL, there's no doubt about it. With him sideline, Raheem Mostert, 22 rushing attempts. Didn't do a ton with them, but got that volume. So if you're sitting on Mostert, should see the volume continue here going forward, depending on Achane's status. Tyreek Hill, this just in, is pretty good. 10 for 146 and a touchdown, despite missing time during this game with a hand issue. We'll keep an eye on that, but I don't think there's going to be anything serious here. He's up over 1,200 receiving yards already on the season, which is just silly. On the other side, Devontae Adams got in the end zone. It was a pretty throw from Aiden O'Connell, and he did have 7 for 82 on 13 targets. Not the best outing for O'Connell, but if we can sustain value for Devontae Adams, I think that's all I'm really asking for here. As far as Josh Jacobs, this was a down performance after back-to-back heavy volume games. He only sees 14 rushing attempts in this one. Caught 1 ball for 12 yards, 14 for 39 on the ground. It's a down week, but I'm not overly concerned about Jacobs for the stretch run. Let's move on to the Giants and Washington Commanders. Tommy DeVito. Oh, where did this come from, Tommy? Our guy DeVito, 3 passing scores. 3. There was 61 games without 3 passing touchdowns for the Giants. That was the longest streak by any team since 1993 through 1997. Giants. So they had that going for them. DeVito, 246, 3 scores. 2 of those scores going to Saquon Barkley, and the first one was an absolute thing of beauty. Loved the play from Saquon here. And I was saying it several times, man, it isn't a Saquon thing. This dude is playing so good. But now, if they can get a little bit of a spark, granted, it was the Commanders, but they get a little bit of spark here. Saquon, down the stretch, arrow is pointing up. He touches the ball 18 times, caught 4 for 57 and 2 scores, 14 for 83, which is almost 6 yards per carry. He was just awesome in this game. Darius Slayton, who I actually had to start in a super deep league, 4 for 82 and a touchdown, I'll take it. On the other side, Sam Howell came back to earth a little bit, but we've seen this out of him this season, so no major concerns for me. Did throw 3 picks. 255 and a score. The score, of course, going to Jahan Dotson. Really, Dotson, McLaurin didn't perform as well as I thought they were going to here. 5 for 43 for McLaurin. Dotson just 3 for 23. But you got a lot of Logan Thomas, 5 for 58. And another big Brian Robinson receiving game. 7 for 58 on 9 targets. With no Antonio Gibson there, he was awesome. 24 touches. He went 17 for 73. Okay. No touchdowns, but in a game where he doesn't score a touchdown, he puts up a really nice PPR line. his arrow is pointing up as well here. We'll see how long Gibson's sidelined, but even with Gibson on the field the last couple of weeks, Robinson has been pretty solid. So, hey, yeah, I was one of those guys that you could get pretty cheap in fantasy drafts this year, and he is paying some major dividends. Dallas and Carolina, another pick six from Bryce Young, another pick six for De'Ron Bland. That's four on the season, which is crazy. That's already tied the NFL record. He gets one more, he'll set the record. Four. He scored four touchdowns this year. It's nuts. Dak Prescott, in a game where he doesn't have to do much, I'll take 189 and two. It's not amazing, but this week I think it'll be enough. But the key here, CeeDee Lamb, by the way, had one of those two, so he continues to be productive, even though he didn't have 150 plus here. The key, though, Tony Pollard, I said, hey, if he doesn't get it done, I'm done with him. I think he got it done. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't like 180 yards and three scores, but he goes 12 for 61, so that's over 5 yards per carry, and a touchdown. He ran hard in this one. He also caught 4 for 19, so he chips in 5.9 PPR points in addition to having 12.1 on the ground. I'll take that. Honestly, I'll take that. It wasn't an absolute grand slam, but, you know, well, maybe we'll call it a double. He doubled to left center off the wall. How about that? It wasn't that bad. It was just what I needed in a league where I'd been disappointed in him for sure. Rico Dowdle did not do much of anything, came into this one banged up. On the other side, I mean, Adam Thielen, and that's it. He had 8 for 74. The rest of the team had 8 for 49. Not a well-put-together roster, certainly for Bryce Young's skill set, but it's going to be tough to salvage much fantasy value here. Also, Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders are back to basically a 50-50 split, making it really tough to rely on either one of those guys. All right, Tennessee, Jacksonville, return of Ridley. He heard everybody on Twitter. Ridley goes out there, tops 100 receiving yards, and scores two touchdowns, 7 for 103 and 2. We have seen this out of Calvin Ridley before. We've seen it out of him this season. I doubt this comes with more consistency, but hey, hopefully it does if you've been rostering him. I just know what we've seen out of him, and you know, he's on that Gabe Davis type pathway here where one game could be amazing. The next game, he completely disappears. Maybe he rattles off back-to-back good games. I think that's probably what we're looking at. And it's going to make it really tough to rely on him. However, Trevor Lawrence, the two passing scores, also ran for two. This was the best best fantasy performance out of him all season. Yeah. I don't know if that instills enough confidence to have him as an every week starter, but it does underscore the rationale of, like, this guy was playing good football, just the fantasy numbers didn't match. Well, now we finally got a game where the fantasy numbers matched. Travis Etienne, not a great outing for him. 14 for 52, 3 for 7. Really wasn't used once the game got out of hand, so I'm not going to go get too crazy about that. On the other side, Will Levis did throw a passing score to DeAndre Hopkins, so at least we have that. 4 for 59 for Hopkins. Really down week for Derrick Henry. 10 for 38. These running backs, they get old quick, man. They get old quick. So this season, he's averaging 11.5 rushes per game, 40.5 rushing yards per game against the AFC South. From 2019 to 2022, so that four-year stretch where he was pretty dominant, he averaged just under 25 rushing attempts per game, 24.9, and 138.1 rushing yards per game against those divisional opponents. Uh-oh. Arizona, Houston, this game was a game I was really excited for just in general, and it didn't disappoint. Arizona played tough. Houston held them off. Houston continued to be really productive here with this Tank Dell CJ Stroud connection. Dell 8 for 149 and a score with no Noah Brown. We'll see if he's able to get back quickly, but you know, they still have plenty of weapons. Nico Collins back on the field, 7 for 65 on 11 targets. And Devin Singletary, 22 for 112 and a score. The first time in his career he's gone over 100 in back-to-back performances. That's pretty awesome right there. And I think he will officially be way ahead on the depth chart once Dameon Pierce is able to come back. Wasn't a perfect game for Stroud. He did throw three interceptions, but he continues to be extremely productive. Wasn't a perfect game for Kyler Murray, but I'm still encouraged. 214-1. The one, of course, went to Rondale Moore, and it was his only one. I thought it was going to be a big Rondale day and end up being a lackluster when it's all said and done, just given how it started day. But it, at least it was 48 yards on that touchdown strike. Kyler threw a couple wobbly passes, did have an interception, but also, yet again, ran really well. 7 for 51 and a touchdown on the ground. Very effective in that area. I do not know what's going on with Marquise Brown. Back-to-back weeks now where not only has the connection not really been there, Kyler's not even really forcing the issue. He only saw 5 targets. McBride saw 7. Greg Dortch saw 8. It's going to be tough to use Marquise Brown as anything more than a boomer bust wide receiver 3 going forward, which that sucks. I thought we would have seen more there, but we aren't, so we have to reevaluate. All right, Tampa, San Francisco, Brock Purdy, which fortunately the 3 players I was most widely exposed to in DFS yesterday were Brock Purdy, at quarterback at least, C.J. Stroud and Kyler Murray. Kyler wasn't that great, but Stroud was pretty darn good, and Brock Purdy was excellent. In fact, he had a perfect passer rating, 158.3. Passer rating is what it is. I don't think it's that great of a metric, but still, he did have history here because the last time that happened, and it's only happened one other time in franchise history, was in 1989 when the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers was some guy named Joe Montana. So pretty good. Purdy's averaging 7.9 yards per attempt. That is the second highest by any quarterback through 10 games since 1950. You'd have to go back to 1988 to see somebody with 9.8 yards per attempt. And you got to have a minimum of 250 attempts here. That player's name is Boomer Esiason. So not too bad there. Not too bad. Of course, Purdy connecting with Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk is on fire. 5 for 156 in the score for him on 6 targets. George Kittle, remember last year when he was awesome down the stretch and helped a lot of people win fantasy championships? Well, he may be doing that again. Another big one. This one was a volume game for him. 8 for 89 in a score. Of course, McCaffrey can't go more than one game without a touchdown. 5 for 25 in a touchdown as a pass catcher. 21 for 78 on the ground. Not a great game on the ground, but I'll take the 21 carries. He now has 485 career catches. That passed Roger Craig for the most by a running back through the first 7 seasons of a career. Alvin Kamara is right there with him, too. He has 480. So those guys are both 7 in their 7th season, which that doesn't even feel possible, but it's true. McCaffrey, 825 rushing yards on the season. No other player has over 700, so he's running away with that. He could join Joe Perry, not of Aerosmith, of the 1953-1954 San Francisco 49ers as the only rushing champion, only other rushing champion in history. So Perry did it twice. McCaffrey could do it once this season, that is. He could do it next season too, who knows. But he could join that list, that's the point. Let's see, Debo, not the best game, but he did have 3 for 63 as a pass catcher. But, you know, pretty straightforward on the 49ers side. On the other side, another touchdown for Mike Evans. He saw 12 targets in this one, only caught 5 for 43, but the volume is there with Baker Mayfield. He loves himself some Mike Evans, and who can blame him? Rashad White, another classic Rashad White game. Averaged 3.3 yards per carry. He did score a rushing touchdown, so he put up 9 points as a runner, which, okay, whatever. But where Rashad White is especially effective, in the passing game, caught 6 balls for 28 yards. All right, I'll take 8.8 PPR points from you. Thank you very much. You're an RB2 every single week because of that. It's very, very, very effective in the passing game. Jets, Bills. Okay. First and foremost, Zach Wilson was finally benched. And this is not a Belichick benching. You know how Belichick will just bring in Bailey Zappe, but then he'll be like, we're going to go back to Mac. Tim Boyle is going to be the starter. So, sorry, Jets fans, but Tim Boyle is going to be the starter. And we'll have to talk about him for Superflex Leagues tomorrow. Yeah, joy. Zach Wilson at least did throw a touchdown pass to Breece Hall, 5 for 50 and a touchdown for Breece, 10 for 23 on the ground, so not the best outing there, but at least he got in the end zone. And actually with PPR, he put up 16 points just as a receiver. Let's see. Oh, Garrett Wilson was barely used, even though, well, he had 8 targets, but 2 for 9 yards. Yikes. Hopefully Boyle can improve on that. I don't think he can, but there you go. There's not much you can do with Garrett Wilson, by the way. Again, like trading a guy like that away, you're not getting anything for him. So your best bet is just to make informed start-sit decisions each week. Josh Allen threw 3 passing scores, 1 to James Cook, which was nice, 3 for 29 and a score, 17 for 73 on the ground. Ty Johnson's not going to be worth picking up. I know some people are going to look at the fantasy points scored and think that this is like the sign of things to come. It was later in the game, garbage time essentially. And then Khalil Shakir, 3 for 115 and a touchdown for Shakir. Big play touchdown too for him. So solid outing all around there for Josh Allen. Wasn't a perfect game. He did throw an interception. He does that. The one thing is that the connection with Stephon Diggs has been off over the last 2 weeks. Now, this is another tough matchup. He only goes 4 for 27 against that really good Jets secondary. I don't have any concern here, but if somebody in my league did, and let's say my trade deadline is this week, I may want a low ball offer and try and get Stephon Diggs off of them. Let's do 2 more left here. Seattle and the Rams. Exciting finish to this one. Seattle almost eked out the victory, but the Rams got this one. Of course, they did lose Cooper Kupp during the course of the game to an ankle injury. I do not know the severity of the injury at this point. We know Puka Nacua can be a stud when Kupp is not on the field. Well, that's what he did here. 5 for 70 and a touchdown for Nacua in this game. He certainly benefited from Stafford being back. Royce Freeman led the way in the backfield, 17 for 73. Of course, Daryl Henderson, I've been saying it all along, Freeman looked better than Henderson. Henderson had 6 carries, 1 yard, but of course he had a touchdown. Why not? He did catch 4 balls for 28 yards. All of this is a moot point, though, because in a perfect world, Kyren Williams is designated to return maybe even before you listen to this podcast, and then he'll be activated at the end of the week, fingers crossed, and then all is right with the world, hopefully. And Cooper Kupp isn't hurt. Hopefully, but we'll see on that front. So I don't know if there's going to be much value to rostering either of those guys when Kyren comes back. On the other side, Geno Smith, last week's career high, then he goes for 233 in this one. He was banged up with an elbow issue, but was able to come back at the very end of the game. Doesn't seem like this is going to sideline him. Good game for DK Metcalf, 5 for 95 and a score. Tyler Lockett playing through injury, 5 for 51. But of course, the other big story, and I will bury the lead on this one. We did have Kenneth Walker leave this game with an oblique injury that apparently he could barely move, according to Pete Carroll. Will he miss time? Well, they play on Thursday night against the 49ers, Thanksgiving evening. So Zach Charbonnet is going to be a pretty hot commodity tomorrow. He is widely available. If you're sitting on him, though, he had 15 for 47. Caught 6 balls for 22 yards, so he does crack double-digit fantasy points. It wasn't an amazing performance, and I doubt that it'll be an amazing performance against the San Francisco 49ers if he is, in fact, the lead back. But the thing about it, I mean, he had 21 touches. You cannot manufacture that. So we'll talk more about him tomorrow. Things aren't looking good for Walker, at least in this short turnaround. I don't know if it's going to be a long-term, like oblique strains. They're not typically long-term, but they are 2 to 4s usually. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. All right, let's round this thing out. Minnesota, Denver, another Courtland Sutton touchdown. I believe, if I am correct here, that last week on Thursday, I talked about a Courtland Sutton touchdown on this here podcast of mine. How about that? Blind squirrel found a nut on that one. 4 catches, 66 yards. He is 8 games with a receiving touchdown. That is tied for the league lead with some guy named Tyreek Hill. 5 straight games with a receiving touchdown as well. That's the most since Julius Thomas in 2014 for the Denver Broncos. That's a pretty cool one. I had some Julius Thomas, little JT, on some of my fantasy squads. That was back in my PFF days there. Fond memories back in 2014. That was like the year of the DFS boom, too. in a world. Anyway, that was a hell of a game, by the way. There were a lot of games like that this weekend. Here's what I'm saying about Javonte Williams. I'm not panicking. 11 for 37. The game script wasn't particularly good. I've talked before about Minnesota's run defense. They are solid. And because of game script, we saw a little bit more Samaje Perine in the passing game. Not overly concerned there about Javonte Williams. Moving over to the other side, Josh Dobbs, admirable performance. Yet again, scores as a runner. 8 for 21 and a score, 221 and a score through the air. Of course, that score did not go. It went to a tight end, but it didn't go to the tight end we wanted it to go to. It went to Josh Oliver, who for some reason had 4 for 47 and a touchdown. TJ Hockenson, 4 for 55. In a game where, you know, is somewhat disappointing, I'll take 9.5 PPR points out of him. The backfield. So Alexander Mattison played significantly more than Ty Chandler. I know the fantasy numbers are going to give you a very different picture here because Ty Chandler did score more fantasy points, but Mattison played 45 snaps. Chandler played 21. That's basically like a 65-35 split in terms of playing time for these guys. So what does that mean? It means Madison's in the lead, and he didn't really do anything to lose that spot here. 18 for 81 on the ground. Chandler did have 4 for 37 and then 10 for 73 on the ground, and that's why he ended up outscoring Madison. Madison only had a catch for negative 1 yards. So what does this mean going forward? It means Madison's going to continue to be like a very bland flex option, and Chandler may crack flex territory, though he may be more like a risk-reward guy right on the edge of flex territory. No Justin Jefferson, the anticipation, hopefully, is he'll be back for their Monday night contest coming up this week. We shall see. And then they have the bye-in the next week. So what a lost year if you happen to be like me and draft Justin Jefferson in a bunch of your redraft leagues. Anyway, enough about me. Tomorrow, I'm going to be back. I'll break down the waiver wire for you for week 12. Hard to believe we're already at week 12. This will be a fun week with Thanksgiving. I am going to have to change the schedule a little bit, so there won't be a Thursday podcast this week on Thanksgiving. I am working on SiriusXM, though, so if you want to listen, you have SiriusXM. I'm on from 10 to noon on SiriusXM channel 87, just doing the Jeff Ratcliffe show like usual, but it is a pregame show with the NFL games starting at 12:30. What a great day of football that's going to be. But yeah, waivers tomorrow. We'll do Wednesday rankings like usual. We'll do a Friday podcast like usual. It's just Thursday that we'll be off this week. All right, that is going to do it for me today. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.